From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, investigating parapsychology. But here's what's happening. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the National Jewish Health Organization in Colorado both have issued a warning about nasal washes after two people strangely died from using tap water to do their sinus rinse. The health experts say that it's safe to use nasal washes, but it's not about the rinse, it's about the water you use. They warn that a mixture from a faucet could be fatal. Saltwater nasal washes can help asthma and allergy sufferers. Please be careful. Do not use tap water. In Colorado, a man who was working as an embalmer says he stole from the dead in order to support his family. The 43-year-old man is accused of removing gold crowns from teeth of dead people and then selling them. He turned himself in. Police believe that he may have recovered or extracted hundreds of teeth from the deceased or the deceased's remains. While we were on the air last night on Coast to Coast AM, I was watching a radar and I saw this huge storm system going through the Midwest, and it was big. At least 12 people are dead, 15 tornadoes blowing through the Midwest overnight, and the death toll is expected to rise. The extensive damage caused by the storms in at least five states is only beginning to become clear. Meanwhile, more tornado watches are in effect in Kentucky and in Tennessee. The tornadoes touched down across Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana. At least six people, four women, two men, killed in the town of Harrisburg, Illinois. Also Branson, Missouri, one of the music capitals, hit. A lot of injuries, over 200. And you know what? It's not over yet. As a matter of fact, Mitch Batras, earthchangesmedia.com, with us. Mitch, it's a little early for all this. We're not even into springtime, and we're seeing tornadoes. We saw some in the winter. These were devastating. What's causing all this?
Well, that's right, George. We are at the cusp of what would be called tornado season in Tornado Alley. There's actually two distinct tornado alleys, if you will, in the United States. One is known as Tornado Alley, and that is the mid-states that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. The other's called Dixie Alley. That's closer to the coast, the Gulf of Mexico, from Texas to Florida, and perhaps just a little bit north of Florida. But but they're two different time tables. The one for the Tornado Alley, it usually starts in March. I did look this up, and there have been some significant events that have occurred in February. So it's not. It's not that it hasn't happened before, but it is unusual. But this is what I think is happening and what I think is the cause, is that the times of these seasons, what we'd call tornado season, hurricane season, that is becoming opaque. It's not as defined. The reason for that are the weather patterns. What's contributing to the weather patterns, of course, is the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have been pounded with CMEs, coronal mass ejections. Why nobody is noticing, others than like me that study the sun, is that it's not related to a solar flare. So or sunspot groups. Right now, we should be seeing sunspot groups of over 100. We're seeing sunspot groups of 3, 5, 7. And it's the CMEs that may be contributed to a sunspot region, but often is not. There's a new phenomena that's being researched. Reports have just been released this week called filament.
What's
now,
that?
The word filament isn't new, and it has been used before related to charged particles. But what is new about it is that it is unrelated or not directly connected to sunspots or coronal mass ejections. There's something else that's going on. That is having a direct causal effect. Like I said, in the last 5 days, we've had a CME almost every day. Another one just went off today, a HALO CME, that will have a direct hit to our magnetic field. And as you know through my equation, that in turn, as it hits the lower atmosphere and shifts ocean currents and jet streams, and boom, there we have it.
So we're going to see more and more of this. Mitch, thanks so much. Mitch's website, earthchangesmedia.com. Sportsradio1070.com. All right, Davy Jones of the Monkees has died of an apparent heart attack at the age of 66. The singer, who had been on a solo tour this month, complained of chest pains last evening, was admitted to a hospital this morning in Stuart, Florida, where he died. The Monkees' music was written by some of the best songwriters of the day, including Carole King and Neil Diamond. I remember Davy Jones when I was a kid. It was a great little group, the Monkees. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke struck down a downbeat tone on the health of the U.S. economy in spite of an upward revision of growth in the fourth quarter of 2011, leaving it unclear whether the Fed would further ease monetary policy. In testimony to Congress, the Fed chairman said that the labor market was doing better, but that the fundamentals supporting consumer spending continue to be weak. Our highlights at coasttocoastam.com. Take a look at the story about SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. A website has now been launched that aims to get you involved in the search for extraterrestrial life. Announced at the TED conference in Los Angeles, which stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design, the site will stream audio and radio frequencies that are transmitted from the SETI Allen Telescope Array. Participants will be asked to search for signs of unusual activity. It is hoped that the human brain can find things that the automated system might miss. Apple is expected to announce the iPad 3 at a special event in California next week. Those of you who are techies, this iPad 3 could be a little more expensive than what's on the market already. By a 2-to-1 vote, the Nevada Public Utilities Commission has decided to allow unhappy energy customers opt out of having smart meters installed on their homes. Nevada Energy plans to install 1.3 million smart meters in Clark County, 750,000 already installed, 10,000 in northern Nevada. The meters allow electrical use data to be transmitted to the company without a meter reader going around every month to check on the use. Critics of the smart meters claim that the radiation from these devices can cause cancer, miscarriages, and birth defects. One opponent said they would cause more damage than the tobacco industry. And in a moment, we're going to be talking about smart meters right here on Coast to Coast AM. And for the next couple hours, we're going to talk about a story that affects most of you. John and Pauline Holton of Michigan have been waging a nonstop fight against smart meters. They've been helping communities with the battle to stop the installation of what they say are invasive and dangerous technology, which they say can damage our health and erode our civil liberties. Here they both are on Coast to Coast, John and Pauline. Hello, you two. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
It's 1 o'clock.
Great. 1 o'clock. Whereabouts in Michigan are you?
Shelby Township.
Know it well. I was born in Detroit. You spend a lot of time up in that area. First of all, John and Pauline, tell us what smart meters are.
So smart meters are not the same as your old analog meter on your home. The analog meter is a mechanical meter that simply measures your electrical consumption, you know, the kilowatts per hour, strictly for billing purposes, you know, and it was nothing more than that. The new smart meter is the regular frequency controlled, and it's remote. It has a remote disconnect and reconnect. This is the thing that DT always tries to go ahead and say is great, so they can go ahead and find out when you've lost your power. But the problem is they also have be able to limit your load to how much electricity you're using. They'll be able to collect the data within your home, and they'll be able to store it and for later. And this is going to be a pathway into your home. And the other meter never did had any capabilities like that.
Now, that's the one where the person had to come into your house or wherever you kept this thing, and he'd read it, she'd read it, and off they'd go, right? Then you'd get your bill.
Yes.
Well, that's the old mechanical meter. I mean, you never knew it was there. You could have it on there for decades, and all you got was your bill once a month, and that was it.
Now, one of the reasons that the power companies are beginning to install these, John and Pauline, all around the country, I assume is also to cut their labor costs, you know, so they don't have to have someone going around the houses. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. That's what's going on all over you. You know, it's weird that you don't even hear from the meter people about this, about losing their jobs, because they're going to be losing their jobs.
Oh, yeah, you would think they'd go nuts.
They're not even talking about that. I'm just wondering what the problem is with that, why they're not coming forward saying why they're not losing. Why they're losing their jobs.
All right. How did both of you get involved in this? How did you begin to realize, you know what, smart meters may be too smart, but they're not smarter than we are? When did you decide to jump in and do this?
Well, we started a few years back. We started hearing things from all over the country, from people all over the country. And my friends in out there in California, Deborah Tavares and Orlean Kehoe and Josh Hart and Nita Beatty, I start getting in contact with them and learning more and more about it. So we decided to start something in Michigan, and we've been working with it ever since, getting more people involved.
Why is it such a big issue? What did you two see that brought this to the forefront?
Well, you could see the big issue of government control.
Yeah.
And the cost, and especially in Michigan, we are hit so hard with financial foes right now, with the unemployment and people losing their houses, and everything's just skyrocketing, and gas prices and everything, and it's just hitting us very hard and all over the country.
Well, now, how do these things work? Does somebody have to drive by your house and they register the signal, or is this fed directly to, you know, the power company? How does that work?
Well, the smart meters, the way they're installed now, it's going to happen that they're going to have a mesh network. They're going to collect the data in your home. The DTE will tell you that it's going to be maybe four times a day, but it's actually going to be almost every couple of minutes, maybe some seconds. They collect data. They transmit it about every 5 minutes or so. And the RF signal will go from maybe 10 microwatts on up to 150 microwatts. And this goes from house to house and then to the collector and then to the DTE or the other energy company's main office.
What powers these things, John?
Well, what powers these things is, well, my wife knows a little bit more about this than I do, but basically the meter is on all the time. It's on your household current, and then it has a board in there with a smart chip, and it goes down to the DC voltage, is where it has a the capacity to go ahead and do the remote control signal. You know, like I said, the basic thing, though, is that this is a two-way communication. It doesn't go just one way, sending out the data to DTE. It's a pathway into home. This is what they market it as later on for you to actually control your appliances within your home. And if you give them permission, they'll do it without even asking you. They'll just go ahead and monitor your home and tune your electricity down, your hot water down. There was an article in this last Saturday's paper about a stove that you'll be able to control with your cell phone and monitor the moisture in it. This is the type of thing that they're marketing, smart chip appliances, and this is where they're going to make all their big dollars, by controlling everything in your life.
So one of the things that, Pauline, that they might be able to do, they might be able to shut your air conditioning down if they want to, or let's say there's a power surge, so they figure we can't afford to let anybody use power today, we're going to bring them down to 10%. Will they be able to do that?
Oh, yes, they'll be able to shut with your air conditioning and everything down. People don't understand that the chips and all this stuff is there, be able to shut us down completely, and it's going to be a big problem for everybody. It's going to be a problem with seniors that can't afford their prices now. What are they going to do with all this stuff being so expensive? And they're going to have to really cut back. And it's going to be just outrageous for us to have to live this way and have to worry about our appliances, our air conditioning, or whatever is being shut off or turned down.
What about some of the health issues now that so many folks are starting to raise about this?
Well, radio frequencies can cause cancer. The WHO talks about it in 2011 now, the different cancers it can cause and possible carcinogenic in tumor group 2B, gliomas, and different possible brain tumors that can cause. There's all kinds of different things related to these meters. There's skin diseases, there's insomnia, there's nausea, skin rashes. I mean, there's people that have defibrillators in their hearts, And when these meters go off, it can cause them to malfunction.
Now, this is a dramatic story that I had leading into you about what they're doing now in Nevada, where they're giving homeowners the luxury of saying, hey, I don't want this. They voted 2-1, and that's pretty dramatic, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We've got two bills, right? Well, yeah, it's going all over the country about doing all that. We have two bills right now in Michigan, 5411 and 5439, trying to get the smart meter stopped here. And we're trying to get more people to back it. And it looks like it's going to work out quite well. We're getting quite a few backers on it.
I remember some time ago in St. Louis, they'd send you a card, and you could go downstairs and read your own analog meter,
right.
And you would make a picture of where the little meters were, and then they would read it, and then maybe once a year they'd send somebody to verify what it was, and if it was ridiculously off, maybe some people cheated about it or something like that, they'd catch up to you, and you'd have to end up paying the bill. But that was a pretty simple procedure. I don't know why they don't do that still.
Well, what they're trying to do nowadays is going to change it from daily rate changes and time-based rates, peak use rates. They're going to go ahead and what they're planning on doing is going ahead and change a whole new billing area so that they'll be able to go ahead and control your lifestyle. This pathway into your home is actually going to make you want to go ahead and sit on your computer. This is what they tell you. DTE here in Michigan tells you you're going to be able to monitor your usage on your computer daily to see what the rate changes are, your consumption is, and then you can go ahead, turn off your appliances, and wait till the middle of the night to go ahead, turn them back on when the energy rates are cheaper. And you won't have those high electric bills that may happen every day.
Now, is this also going to be for gas as well as electric?
Gas, water, and electric, yes.
Everything.
Well, this is the thing that got us started. It goes, we get their documentation off their website, and this is where we get to the Itron Openway Smart Meter. It says it's a pathway into your home. It says it's going to be able to control the gas. The gas module will be able to go ahead and be controlled in your home.
It's
going to be able to control everything you do. Without your consent.
Already 6,000 people in Nevada have said that they don't want their smart meters installed. I would think, though, of the million-plus people out in that region there, that they would all say they didn't want it. So I guess there's some people who either don't know or they don't care. Pauline?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that love gadgets and stuff like that. People that we talk to that, have got the different cars and stuff like that. I'm not a gadget person. I'm a simple person, and I just stick to the basics. But there's so many people out there that love the gadgets, that's going to love this stuff. They can go away from home, not worry about their house. Wrong to do. They'll know when you're not there. People understand hacking and all this stuff can occur, and bingo, we have a problem.
Do the power companies even offer an incentive to put one of these meters in your place?
What do you mean incentive?
Any money, any discounts or anything?
They're doing all kinds of rebates to buy the appliances, to buy the furnaces, to get programmable thermostats. They got all kinds of gadgets to offer.
But what people don't understand here in Michigan is there's no one's complaining about the smart meters because nobody knows about
it. Nobody knows it. On the face of it, you think, all right, pretty good idea. And in they go, right?
Well, no, they just walked into your yard, swapped it out,
like they did ours,
walked away, and they never tell anybody about any benefits, any cost, or anything. It wasn't until we got active here in Michigan and we gleaned more energy, more knowledge from all the other states, California and Maine and Texas, especially California, that we were able to go ahead and bring this forward. What the energy company says, well, no one else is complaining. We installed hundreds of thousands of these, and you're the only ones complaining. The cities don't know about these. The people don't know about these.
Are these put primarily on the power outside the house?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no wonder nobody knows about it. They probably do it when no one's home.
and
they just come on your property and put them in.
They pop. They pop them in pretty fast, too, I guess. Stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment. We'll talk more about this. The next hour, we'll share your stories. Those of you who might have a smart meter, let us know what's going on with you. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we will take your phone calls next hour as we talk about these incredible smart meters and what they're doing to all of us. So we'll do that next hour with John and Pauline Holton. More to talk with them about and how this thing works. We'll come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast Split Show tonight. We're talking with John and Pauline Holton for a couple hours about smart meters, what they mean. So, John and Pauline, is there anything legally we can do to stop them from putting them on outside of our houses?
Legally? Yeah, there's lots of things we can do. There's class action suits all over the place, but the main thing you have to get to your public is people have to say no. Because there's no mandate for these meters, you can say no. People have to get their meters locked up, do whatever they can to save their property.
I mean, if a power company guy was coming by and said, look, we've got to work on your little transformer up there, there's not much you could do to stop that. It's got to be done, right? So sure. if they simply come in and say, look, we're changing the meter, and instead of just the old meter that revolves, we're putting something else on, and we're adding it to it. I just don't know how many people can stop that. Now, putting it inside your house, I think you have every right to say, no, I want to go with the old system. But outside of your – so what's the percent of those outside the house compared to those inside the house? Do we have those numbers?
Percentage? What do you mean by percentage?
Well, I mean, some of these meters go inside the house too, right?
Right. The water heaters are going inside
your house. Okay, so, I mean, how many – meters are outside, how many meters are inside? Do we know?
From state to state, oh my gosh, there's hundreds of thousands of them in Michigan going in, still going in. People just have to have knowledge about what's going on in their home. That's the whole problem. They don't know. If they knew about the cost, what's going to be, their radio frequency, the privacy issue, even catch on fire, people think twice about having that in their house.
Who's making the meters? What company?
Oh, there's a lot of different ones out there. There's Elster, there's iTron, and a bunch of different kinds of meters. They're made all over the country, too.
Okay, and these are going on all around the country. Is there any one regulatory agency responsible for this, or is it a state-by-state thing?
It's state-by-state, actually.
Well, George, in reality, the smart meters are not mandated. And we have to go ahead and realize that this misconception that DT is allowing to happen, that everybody believes this is part of the smart grid, but smart meters are not part of the smart grid. This is something that the energy companies want to go ahead and add so they can make more money and profit off of you. It has nothing to do with the efficiency of the smart grid system. It doesn't save you money. It does go to help them save energy. Controlling your usage is what goes ahead saves you money and saves them energy.
How long have these smart meters, John, been used?
They started. There's some started in 2005 in the water in different places. It actually started in 2005 that we know about.
How will they make more money, these companies?
Well, they're going to make more money by limiting your usage. And you're going to be going to the off hours where the electricity is actually cheaper, and they can run their equipment longer, and they're going to be able to go ahead and use tax write-offs on the upgrading of their equipment and everything to go ahead. Well, how could I say it?
Well, let me ask you this, John.
Build their corporation. There's all kinds of money incentives. Far as gleaning information, the new smart appliances, the distribution of all this, there's going to be a whole new, how can I say, like those not energy credits, but it's what?
Carbon credits?
I can't.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say it's 90 degrees at night, hot summer night in the Midwest, and you go to sleep, you've got your air conditioner set to 72. And you go to bed. Would they have the capability with these meters? And they say, well, it's nighttime. So-and-so's asleep. We're going to move it up to 80. Can they do that?
Yes, they are. They already have done it all over the country.
Well, they didn't really need the smart meter capability to do that. They've already have that. You could opt in on your old air conditioning unit to do that.
Interceptable.
Like I said, the smart meters is going to be able to go ahead and control your use daily, hourly in your home. But they're going to try to tell you, they're going to let you give them permission to do it. They're brainwashing to the effect that you, in order for you to save money, you have to let them control your energy consumption. It's not like they don't believe you're intelligent enough to go ahead
and put it down
and figure out the rates are going to be higher between 2 in the afternoon and 10 at night. And if I want to save money, maybe I should go ahead and turn my air conditioning down on my own. But they want you to believe that they can do it for you, and you don't know, have enough common sense to go ahead and quit running your appliances during the peak prime time hours.
Could this also be a ruse to control the grid whenever they want?
Well, this is where the Homeland Security and all this is coming in too. There's a big Agenda 21 type plan here that,
right,
with a flick of one button, they're going to be able to shut off your gas, water, and electricity at randomly, whenever the corporation or government decides they need to go ahead and limit your survivability.
So let's assume we've got, you know, conflicts, strife, and they figure, you know, my gosh, we can't use this kind of consumption. We've got to make it, we've really got to shorten it at people's houses. They would do that. And if everybody's wired for that, it would be easy to do, wouldn't it?
It would be very simple to do a flick of a switch, yes.
Okay, so you're running around the country trying to educate people about this. What's the response been, Pauline?
Well, you have a variety of responses. It depends on the area you should go into. When you first go in there, people seem to look like you're wearing a silver hat. But, you know, eventually down the line, they really take hold of it and they understand, especially when it's talking about money in a lot of areas. I don't think people are catching on to the RF frequencies because they don't understand that millions and millions of people suffer from ES and EMF sensitivities. But I think it's catching on because there's a lot of people out there.
Is there any upside for the consumer with this?
I can't think of anything. But, well, I shouldn't say that. People are going to look at this and think this plan is a great. We've got a DVD that's called The Plan. It says, oh, we're going to have all these appliances. Oh, you don't have to worry about much. People are really going to eat that up. But I think down the road, they're going to figure out exactly what's happening.
You agree with that, John?
Yeah, well, DTE, when it comes through the different cities, and the big upswing they tell us is that you don't have to worry about your dog biting a meter reader anymore,
right,
and you don't have to worry about calling the energy company when you lose power on your home because they'll know immediately.
They'll know instantly. Well, they should know that anyway, right?
Well, I laughed at that because they actually put it in their PowerPoint presentation that five people called DTE and said, oh, the power's out, because they have cell phones. So why in the world do we need DTE to bring this two-way communication, for data collection, load-limiting disconnect that may burn our house down, that may give us cancer, may cause us more, may invade our personal space, and destroy our Fourth Amendment rights in the Constitution? I mean, to save what? There's no cost benefit. Bill Schuette, Attorney General of Michigan, and George Jepson, the Attorney General of Connecticut, have both said they don't see any cost benefit long term with the smart meter installation.
What do the meters look like so people can go outside and check to see if they have them?
Oh, well, you'll know a big difference. The old analog's got the little wheels on it, and the new ones is just going to be, it's all digital.
Everything's digital. And where would they be? In the old spot where the other one was?
The old spot where your old ones are. I mean, if you can't figure that out, it just looks so much different than the old analog.
It's got a round knot. Normally they have a hole where the radio frequency signal sent out, or they have a round circular knob on the unit. And that's the basic giveaway that has a digital readout. You could go to our website, and right on our our smart meter page, it shows the differences between the two meters. I have the old analog meter, the digital meter, and a smart meter there. It explains the differences.
So if you want it taken out, what do you do? Call the power company and say, come get it? I bet they won't even show up.
It's not that easy. It took me 3 weeks to get it off. I threatened them and everything. And
but they did for you.
Did they what?
They took it out for you.
Yes, they did. I was having problems with it. I'd wake up in the night because I felt it was jolting my neck because I've got a rod down my neck from some car accidents.
Okay.
And that's part one of the problems with this meter is with the different side effects from these with you know, people with heart problems and they got the defibrillators. It's going to react differently when they're reading.
Did you have to send them letters, Pauline, or anything like that, or was it just phone calls?
I didn't send them a letter at all. I just told them to come and get it off, and I gave them a specified time, and I wouldn't take no for an answer. People have to be aggressive about that. They're going to tell you it's mandated, and it's not. They will threaten you. They'll tell you that they'll shut your utilities off, and they will. They've done it to me, and I said, go right ahead. But I don't want that at my house.
I'm really surprised they showed up and took it away.
They did.
Were you surprised they did?
Nope. No. I was very vigilant. I called. I was aggressive. I didn't take no for an answer. It was during Christmas, and I let them wait till after Christmas because of the holidays.
I understand.
And I said, I want this off ASAP. I'm giving you a certain amount of time. They came and got it off.
Anything going on a national level to prevent this? Any legislation out there?
Well, we have two bills in Michigan. There's other bills in different places. We've got two on the floor, the 16th and the 28th, House Bill 5411 and House Bill 5439 right now.
You know, George, that's not the national level.
Oh, that's state level.
State, yeah.
But what you have to remember is that it's the movement like out in California, how many of you, well, they got about 49 moratoriums or resolutions mm-hmm. going on out there.
Right.
Texas has it. Maine has it. Illinois, Florida. More and more people becoming aware of this, all the costs, health, safety, invasion of privacy issues. And we send them documentation. They send us. Canada even sends us stuff on the dangers and what's happening in Canada. So everybody's becoming more aware, and the more they become active, the more we can go ahead and get rid of this, the more we can change it, the more we can hold them accountable, and we can get our lives back and get our country back.
Would we find in an investigation that somebody is involved in the company that makes the meters and might also be responsible for forcing people to use them?
I don't know anything about that. You, Pauline?
Well, you're talking about the World Banks are all behind these meters. That's all there is to it. There's the World Banks, the Bilderberg Group. They're all behind these meters. They want to make money, lots of money fast, and that's what's going to happen.
I mean, like these body scanners at the airport. We know the former head of Homeland Security is involved as a consultant with the company. Yeah. I mean, yes. What a gross conflict of interest here.
Yes, there's a lot of that going on, you know, all over the country with different people being involved with making money and off the American people, and I think it's got to stop.
How much do the individual meters cost? Do we know?
Well, I understand they're a little over $400.
For one?
For one, yes.
Okay, and that expense is borne by the company, or do they kind of like leak it in and we end up paying for it?
With us. Yeah, it's all leaked in your costs. People are paying for it even before they get them.
All right, well, let's go through the procedures, Pauline. If somebody knows they've got one of these smart meters, they don't want it there, what do they do and how do they do it?
Well, what I would suggest to do, call the Michigan Public Service Commission and make a complaint there.
If you're in Michigan?
In Michigan, your Public Service Commission, wherever you're at. In
okay.
State. And what I would do, call your utility and tell them you don't want them because you're concerned about the cost. Health and safety and privacy. Now, there's a lot of people that have health issues, and they're saying they need a doctor's note, but that's not really so. I mean, there's been people in Michigan that were running for different office that got it off in a short amount of time. People are even replacing these meters that they're buying from California and having someone putting them on.
Yeah, but George, you're going to have to go ahead and send them a certified letter.
Right.
Like a letter of no consent, like Jerry Day puts on out.
Okay.
And you're with your billing account number, refusing to go ahead and have it come onto your home. And if you don't have, If you have it already, tell them to take it off. But the best thing to do is before they come to your home to install that meter, lock it on out any way you can, tag it with do not install, send a letter of no consent, which means you're not giving them permission to go ahead and install the meter on your home, invade your privacy and all the important issues, and then mail that to them, certified letter, then to the MPS, your Public Utility Commission, and to your senators and representatives if you can. But the main thing is to go ahead and notify them before they come so you have legal cause to go ahead and come back after them for invading your privacy and your home.
Well, and the big thing, too, is you need to get it locally. You need to get into your townships and your cities.
Yes.
And discuss it with your council board meeting.
Like these people did in Nevada.
Right, like we're doing in Shelby Township, Michigan. We've probably been to about 22 cities now trying to get moratoriums and resolutions, and we've got 11, and three of them have moratoriums with it, too. So we're involved with quite a few different cities.
My gosh. How much time do you both put in on this?
7 days a week.
We're on the road today. We got home at, about 10:30 today?
Yeah.
We were out in Dearborn Heights talking to city council out there.
That's my old hometown.
Yeah, the mayor mentioned that you used to live here in Dearborn. Your parents did?
My dad just died. My mother's still out there. Yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned he knew your family.
Gosh, I can't hide.
And we're out there talking before the council, trying to go ahead and enlighten them about smart meters and the dangers and all that, to do a moratorium or in resolution. And we're trying to get them on board. That was this evening. We got about an hour nap in between the meeting and your phone call tonight.
Did the mayor seem receptive?
Yes, very much. He was very much for us.
Well, that's good. That helps, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I mean, when the politicals get involved and they get behind this, you might be able to get some things done here.
And you get the people receptive, too. You start talking to them about it. You know, we've been to different places that people weren't receptive when we first went, and they looked at us like we were crazy, like I was telling you earlier. But now people are calling us like crazy from all over the country talking about it. They want information. They want the knowledge. They want to do something.
Do we have any specific medical studies yet that would prove for you when you go to these meetings that, you know, they might be causing cancer and miscarriages and things like that?
Oh, there's all kinds. You've got the SAGE report. You've got the Bioinitiative report. You've got Bill Deagle's talking about it. And David Carpenter and a bunch of people, Sam Milham, all over the place. There's all kinds of medical evidence about it.
Is this picking up any mainstream media attention yet on a national level besides our show?
Not very much. I mean, like a few of the shows we've been on, the Power Hour, did Marty Oakley.
That's with our buddy Joyce Riley.
Right, yeah. We've done different things like Shad Olson, a bunch of different places we've been on, picking up places, and people are finding out all over the place because our website's everywhere.
Okay, well, that's important. And we've got a link for you with your website at coasttocoastam.com. Are you on Facebook as a group?
No. Okay. We have friends that have got our stuff on Facebook, though.
Okay. All right, so that's a good way to get your word out with the the social networking. The power companies themselves, Pauline or John, when they're faced with things like this, I mean, do they try to debate you, or do they not show up, or what?
It's both. I mean, we've had both of that happen. I mean, we've confronted about the things. You know, they came to Shelby Township, and we confronted them. They came to Shelby Township, just took over everything. You couldn't even ask questions. And I was standing up to try to ask questions. I mean, we had a policeman in the audience, and he told me to sit down. I wanted to ask questions. People tried to ask questions, but it just didn't happen. But our township did a resolution, and other places we were at, Rochester and Sterling Heights did a moratorium when DT came. So it's turning out better for we the people.
Well, I like the fact that consumers can put their foot down and say, look, enough is enough, and then you get some action. We're going to take an hour of phone calls with both you, John, and you, Pauline. And if you want to share stories about meters, maybe you have a smart meter in your house or in your backyard. Check in with us. I'd like to know your story and what happened to you. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.